Jack and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about infill lots or large acreage. Which one, which product type works better for you? Which one makes most money? Which one's easier to deal with? What attracts more buyers?
What are the differences?
Yeah, I feel qualified. And I'm sure Jill does too, to answer, to tell you what we think. It probably translates to what
you know,
you're doing.
That's one thing that's so great about you, Jack. You never don't have an opinion. I don't know how to say that. The double negative. But you're really good, good, bad, or otherwise, sharing your opinion.
Yep. Hey, the good thing, good news is that, you know, people can turn this show off.
Well, that's true. Well, I was going to give another positive, which is people, you know where you stand. But, you know, you, there's no wishy-washiness about you, Jack. You know, there's no, what did he mean? Was he being sarcastic? Oh, no, that was legitimate. If he looks pissed, he probably is.
There's a compliment in there somewhere.
There is.
Or maybe not. Yeah. No, we'll find out.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Jordan asks, so I recently purchased a parcel of land that, of Jack's 4A's, which we'll cover in a second, really only has acreage and could be sold for a relatively small amount of money, as I was able to purchase it for very little. But other than that, admittedly, doesn't have much going for it.
So my 4A's, before Jill continues the question, are acreage. Every time you look at a property, you check for the 4A's. So does it have acreage? More is better. This is for land only. Mm-hmm. Does it have affordability? Cheaper is better.
That's number two.
Does it have access?
That's number three.
Can you get to it? And number four is attributes. Mm-hmm. Is it close to the Grand Canyon? Is there a working ranch next to it? Is there mountain views? Anything that makes it
heavily treed?
Yeah, any of those.
Some
things.
Kinds of good cool camping spot, attribute. Exactly.
Mobile lot, all that stuff. So he's checked for the 4A's, and it only had one.
Which acreage. Was acreage. Well, you know what? I'm going to say it technically kind of has two. It's got acreage and affordability where we're going with this. So I'm going to continue on. It's not that I think there's anything wrong with it per se. It's not like it's contaminated, etc. But it's basically just desert land in the middle of nowhere without any apparent amenities and is landlocked. So I have to assume that if this appeals to anyone, it will have to be for the same reason it appealed to me, that someone is simply looking to own a reasonably large chunk of land.
For very little money.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone here had a situation like this?
We live this situation.
If so, how do you market it? Did you just do what I said above and focus almost exclusively on the size of the land? Furthermore, what did you do about pictures when access is an issue? Is there a neighbor letter strategy in my best bet here? Nice. Is the neighbor letter strategy my best bet here? Any thoughts from someone who has successfully sold land in this situation would be appreciated. Thanks. Well, that could be us.
It is us.
I know.
Again, I feel qualified to answer this question. You have to make a decision at a really early point, hopefully in your career, about access. Because I will tell you, property that has no access, when you look at it on a map, there's just no real way to get to it. Even if it's just a little two-track trail, there's no way to get to it. But it's really, really cheap. You have to decide if you want to be in that business or not. No matter what you decide, you have to disclose it. You really need to actually shoot it off in a firework in the posting that says, look, potential buyer, please check access. I do not want you to be disappointed. Or you need a helicopter to get to it, or whatever you've looked into and found, you need to disclose it. That's number one. I will tell you this. There is a massive and growing market for access-less property.
I was just going to say that.
Some of our members exclusively deal in this type of property. Mm-hmm. I have never, in my career, in the almost 16,000 deals that we've done, purchased a property with no apparent access and had a problem selling it.
Right.
We've also really disclosed it, and here's why. There are a lot of people who really want to get lost.
Be off the grid.
Off the grid, that's
right.
There's
so much going on about being off the grid.
If I had a nickel for every seller I've ever talked to who said, the harder it is to get to it, the more I want to be there.
Right.
They just want to get lost. And I never ask why, but I get it. There, if you go onto YouTube and look up Off the Grid or anything like that, there's
just
a lot
say
of shows.
It's a cool ATV, go find my property adventure. People like that stuff. It sounds crazy. Like
there's a ton of people on YouTube that really want.
You know, it's like geocaching. Remember that for a couple of years ago? That thing that people were doing, like you would go and find the GPS coordinates and you go out in the middle of nowhere and find a treasure and you would go online and put there that you found the treasure and you replace it with something else and then it was like a game. So it's like that. People want to do that. So
I've never heard of that in my life.
Really?
Yeah, I guess yesterday we talked about I'm just obsessed with other stuff.
Oh, my brother was into that. And you need four-wheel drive and a GPS, and they'd be out there doing it. And that was back before our phones would do all that stuff. It was really more of an adventure.
There's a whole subculture, or I guess it's not even subculture anymore. It's a whole culture on YouTube specifically, where people buy property, probably some of it from us, and have a whole YouTube show about how they survive. They grow chickens and vegetables and food. They're not prepper kooks. They're people that just are sick and tired of living in a city. They have a great satellite internet connection, so they're totally connected to the world. And you can, we all know we can make money on the internet from anywhere. Live that lifestyle. That's who's going to buy this property, Jordan.
There are prepper kooks too, by the way.
And we have a whole separate group
Not
of members.
Not kooks, but you know what I mean.
Separate group of members who make it their business to get access to properties like this. So if you buy a big piece of property real cheap and then get easements and get a road in there, now you got something valuable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? And the bottom line is, and I'm joking about the prepper thing. Here's the whole thing. Preppers are awesome and that's their thing. You know, this is where you don't put, just because it doesn't sing to you, doesn't mean it's not going to sing to somebody else.
Exactly,
that's
Jill.
The whole point. And that was one of the things that I had to learn for myself.
Me too.
And it sounds like you do also here, Jordan. You know, like, so everything that we're using, all these examples and everything we're talking about is real. Just because you think, there's no access, I'm going to have trouble selling it. You know what? There's some, like Jack, that's the whole point of the whole thing. There's somebody out there for whatever reason, they want no access, and you don't want to accidentally sell it to the wrong person. That's why Jack's saying, be upfront, disclose this and everything. Just make sure we go, hey, this is a tricky one to get to. I hope you have an ATV because someone's going to go, awesome. That's what I want. There you go.
I mean, right in the first chapter of the ebook that I write about, the Land Academy ebook, I have a plaque up there that says, one man's treasure is another man's trash. And that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Today's topic, along these lines, should we buy info lots or large acreage? Which one's better for your personality type or your business model? Let's talk about the pros and cons.
Which one do I look better standing on? Gee, the large acreage with the big view?
There's the woman's point of view. Which one makes me look better?
Or do I look better standing on the small parcel in the middle of, you know, Manhattan? I don't know.
Does this property make me look fat?
Right. There we go. Then you want the large acreage.
This is the meat of the show.
Does this property make me look fat? Oh, that's good. Dude, thank you very much.
You're writing that down.
I am. I'm going to use that. I need, that's another one. Like my date is a new bacon. I'm going to say, does this property make me look fat? This is good.
Let's talk about value and pricing while Jill's writing this down.
Okay.
Less than 3 blocks from us is an info lot that's worth $4 million. That's the size of a postage stamp. It's just big enough or small enough, depending on how you look at it, to put a structure on it. And it's a side lot next to a property that a person purchased. It's right in the ocean. And it's worth, like I said, probably $4 million. Jill and I have lots, quarter acre properties all over the Southwest that are probably worth $500 to $1,500, much larger. So we're not talking about dollar amounts. We're talking about value. Consumer value or perceived value. So let's put size aside for a second. And let's talk about use, because that's what this really centers around. The postage stamp property I just referred to, someone will put a structure on it and spend $4 million bucks on the dirt, a couple million dollars on the structure, and have an asset that they'll enjoy. Somebody else might take a really large parcel, like let's say 640 acres, which Joe and I have done a lot of deals like that. 640 acres is a square mile. It's also called a section. And, you know, so if you can visualize physically driving around the perimeter of that, you know, you're going to drive 4 miles. It's a huge, huge piece of property. We've regularly done deals where we purchase those for about $40,000 to $60,000 and sell them for $100,000 to $120,000. And the person that buys it's getting a smoking deal. So which one would you rather do, Jill? A property on the ocean or a whole section in, let's say, Central California?
Both. Seriously,
oh my gosh,
I don't have
you always surprise me.
Oh.
That's the best answer.
Thank you.
For sure you'd pick the ocean property.
That's hilarious. Well, good. I'm glad I surprised you.
You're the girl for me.
Thank you. It's all about the deal, honestly. I never really had it like I thought I would. I thought going into this business that I'm going to have a natural like, oh, I don't want to sell that one. Oh, let's keep this for ourselves or whatever like that.
I have that every day.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
How is that possible? And I'm like, forget it. There's going to be another one tomorrow. Let it go. They want it. Great. Sell it. I'll find one better. Doesn't matter. You know, I don't really care. Which is really weird. You early on said, you know, see it like a line item. And so I live and breathe and see it like a line item now. I see it as a big transaction. I'm just, the only thing that gets me excited is the end, you know, like I know what I bought it for and I know what it's going to sell. And then when I see it happen, I'm like, yeah, that's it.
So here's what I've learned about people who buy real estate, especially people who buy real estate online. They're looking for a lifestyle because they're not happy with the one that they have, or they want some type of vacation type release where they can take their family 2 hours away and drive there, put a tent on it, put an RV on it, build a little mobile home or a tiny house or whatever you call it now. But they want some type of story that describes what they're after, like enjoy northern Michigan during the winter, use it for hunting property, park your RV.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And so that's the story, or that's like, let's call it like the American dream / the land ownership dream with a little, you know, little house in the, somebody in the office recently said, it's little house in the prairie. That's
right.
What they want. And it's exactly what they want. It's a perfect way to say it. That house with the smoke coming out of the stack.
Right.
With a stream running through it and the whole thing.
Right.
So the closer you can get to that for the least amount of money, the more real estate you're going to sell.
Totally. A lot of people, I mean, let's be honest, most people don't know that they can own property this inexpensively,
right,
and this easily. And so a lot of people find us and go, wow, this is the greatest thing on the planet.
Right.
I mean, really? I could put this on my credit card.
Yep.
Like,
and they do.
This is insane. You know, I didn't know that. And what's really kind of cool is I've watched a lot of our buyers do this. They weren't intending to build up a portfolio, but they do. I think it's kind of funny. I've had a lot of buyers that they only bought the one cabin property, and then they go, you know, that one next door was available. Do you still have that one?
Right.
Sure. So I roll that in.
I just saw one just like that.
Uh-huh.
That just happened. Like, it's funny you mentioned, well, maybe you saw the same thing.
I didn't.
We had 2 5-acre properties in central New Mexico that you bought, Jill, a while ago. It's great that you don't remember this because
I didn't see it go through the close.
It tells me that you never, you didn't look at it. You looked at it like a line item.
Yeah.
You didn't look at it for like, and I didn't because it had tall pine trees. And, I mean, really, it was on a lake.
Yeah.
And the person that bought the first one came back recently and bought the second one because they went out to look at it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And
now you got two of them.
$5,000 each.
Well, and then what happens is now, you know, okay, now they got the two and they're like, especially with unimproved land, the property taxes are really low. You know, and there's no utilities,
right.
There's things you don't have to worry about. Most of them, there are some that are in an HOA or a POA, a homeowner association or a property owner association, which is always, I usually see those as a good thing because that means that they're working on roads and utilities,
right,
and services and, you know, the fire department and things like that. So I see that as an improvement. You just need to be aware of it and be ready for it. But next thing you know, though, these people go, wow, you know what? I'm going to start. They start collecting them, and they do see it as an asset for their family and a legacy for their kids. And I think it's awesome. So we have a lot of people that are, because we mainly are wholesale. We're usually flipping it at those prices, but you don't have to have a license as a wholesaler. There's no such thing, by the way. So anybody can come to us and get it at wholesale prices. I don't change my prices. I just sell to everybody. So they start to become their own investors. Yeah, and it's really, really
that's
cool.
What happens.
And they're collecting stuff and then
it sneaks up on you.
It does. And it's great. I mean, you know, and then they feel what we feel, which is at the end of the day, every day I go to bed and you know, like Jack and I talked about a couple of days ago on a show, the number of properties that are sitting there in our inventory right now, and I don't worry about it. I don't really care. It's all paid for. I sleep great. I'm not worrying that they're not selling right now today or whatever. It's going to happen. It's totally fine.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that's what they think,
it
too.
Always sells.
So, yeah, these people who are
always
collecting them are probably going, you know what? This is great. I don't need to get my money back out of this. We budgeted for this. These are all paid for. And if something happens, now the kids are going to get it, and it's going to be just fine.
You know, I also, this is how men think, too. There's always, when you have a piece of dirt like that, there's just a fallback plan.
Yeah.
Like if some stuff goes wrong, you can always just use that piece of dirt for something or throw a mobile on there or something.
I'm glad you said that because I think that's a lot of what people think of too. That you brought up the vacation people. You brought the people that are trying to have a different lifestyle. I do think, especially in our, I don't know if climate's the right word, but the way our things are with our country and our world today, I think people want a piece of dirt to have in their back pocket to know that I have a place to go should all hell break loose. Seriously.
Yep.
So that's not crazy too. And you can't do that on an infill lot. Well, you could.
You know what? I was leading up to that. That's perfect. That's a perfect segue. Infill lots are not going to provide that. That
right.
All this little house in the prairie story we're talking about with solar panels and rainwater. Acreage will. Infill lots, it's a totally different customer and a different, you know, they're not dreaming about infill lots. They're usually wholesale guys or they're usually house renovators that know a wholesale guy, or they're hard money people. They're industry people. So it's a lot easier, in my opinion, to sell infill lots to an educated group. It's the same process as selling SFRs.
Right.
With infill lots.
True.
You got to have a lot more dough because infill lots are a lot more expensive. So, but if you're into fast deals, spending a bunch of money, and making a bunch of money, commercial, like business B2B, not B2C, business to consumer, infill lots are for you. But here's some universal truths about both before Jill jumps in here again. Cheaper's better. Just always keep that in your mind. Always. And cheap price is relative to whatever's going on immediately around the property. I know that sounds obvious, but people lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens when you get a seller on a line with a house. The first thing they say is, well, yeah, I understand, but my house has this fantastic XYZ, and my son-in-law, he redid the garage 3 years ago. He spent all summer here redoing the garage. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that at all. So,
have you seen our clawfoot tub?
Yeah.
That's nice. So, but one other thing I was going to say about info lots is I love them really because other than a home, I mean, they provide more value usually. Usually the ones we have purchased, we've gotten really low, but they're worth really, we bought them in a bundle often with other properties because I'm not often seeking out info lots. I'm seeking out just any acreage, and they just kind of come along with the price, you know, because one of our conversation questions is, what else do you have? And that's often where we find these things. And they just roll them into our inventory, roll it into the sale, which is great. So they're often worth more, like Jack said. And it's also great because unlike a home, I don't have to do an inspection. I don't have to worry about. There's 16 things I don't have to think about.
Exactly.
A pool, all those stuff, whatever. I don't have to think about any of that, which is awesome. But I do have to think about other things like zoning. Let's all make sure. That's a one big thing. You may think that this infill lot can do 16 things with, but you want to make sure there's a few extra things you do need to check. where are you on the utilities and things like that? What is available there? All those good things.
Well, I think that infill lots, like mobile home lots, you pretty much know how you're going to use it. And if you know how you're going to use it, if it's predetermined, is either through zoning or what's really immediately around the property, now you're starting down the path toward rational valuation. And that's good or bad. It's good if you want to mechanically just make 10, 20, 30% on real estate, which is great. I love that, by the way. With acreage, it's more of a feeling. And so you can charge more or less, or if you can paint that realistic little house in the prairie scenario, you can hit a home run with acreage. That's my point. You can hit a lot of singles and doubles, but you really can hit a home run. We have members who make hundreds of thousands of dollars per deal with large acreage transactions without putting any money in at all. Infill lots, it's a little bit less likely. It's possible, but it's very less likely. We had a show earlier, I think it was last week, about houses. It's almost impossible to hit a home run financially with a house.
Right.
You can make 40, 50,000 bucks maybe on the top end, maybe a little more out west here. Upwards to a million, but you can't hit a massive home run like you really can with a big piece of property in a great location.
The best you could do with homes is like when you're getting in the really high dollar amounts, you know, when you're when it's when you're buying it for 1.4 million and selling it for 1.8 million.
And really, I think the best way to do that is
2.2 million.
Right, is to, I agree with you completely, but I think you have to renovate it. You have to do something that's going to make it a little bit better, because I just don't think, well, I personally have never purchased a wholesale property and marked it up $1 million.
Oh yeah, no.
Without doing anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. No. You could mark it up $100,000 without doing anything because you bought it right.
Right.
But yeah, you can't do that much without doing something to it.
Well said.
Totally.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 25 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss our new podcast content ideas. And I'd love to hear from you. Post it on Jack Jill.
Yay. And we answer your questions. Should you have one, post it on our online community, like Jack just said. Found on jackjill.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Do we have new content ideas?
Well, that's, yeah, we do.
Oh, this is going to be new for me too.
I know. What I'm going to do is walk us through the process about how you and I come up with show titles and and the stuff that we want to talk about. But what I hope it leads to is on the jackjill.com community.
They tell us what they want to hear?
Yeah, fill a little spot.
Oh.
I'd love for you guys to talk about, you know, how you guys work together. I'd love for you guys to talk about, you know, Tennessee as an acquisition situation.
Oh.
I think it'd be fun.
I love that. So you want our people who are listening right now to go ahead and make a thread in the forums, a forum.
No, I'll create it. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but.
Okay, cool.
I'll create a real easy spot where you can just input it.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. Hey.
I was going to give you, you want to be done, don't you?
No, I was wrapping it up.
I was going to give you a compliment.
Well, go ahead. I'll take it. We'll stop for that. We can always stop for a compliment.
I just love how you don't see these properties with any real emotion. And I love that you just want to buy it all. You know, you want to buy the property on the ocean and you want to buy the 640 acres up in the woods.
Yeah.
I just think it's the best attitude possible.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.